see each of you tonight, and if you have your Bible, if you'll be turning to the book of Job in the 13th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study, Job chapter 13. And while you're getting your Bibles and getting at ease, we want to welcome you. Good to have some visiting with us. Good to have the Thompsons visiting with us. I remember when I worked here back in 96, Brother Thompson came over and was working on the lights up here, and different recollections of what happened. You ask him one thing and I ask me, and we have different versions of what really occurred. He's probably telling the truth of it. But I got to be careful what I say now that he put these lessons on the World Wide Web. So Brother Thompson, I appreciate him and Sister Thompson. And I remember Sister Holt and their family, and I appreciate them. If you have your Bible in the book of Job and the 13th chapter, if you would, look with me at verse 1 beginning. Behold, my eye has seen all this, my ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you, but I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But you forgers of lies, you are all worthless physicians. Oh, that you would be silent, and it would be your wisdom. In the book of Job, no doubt we recognize what all had fallen upon this man. When the Satan had come before God and accused that the fact that Job only served God for all the blessings he received at the hand of God. And Satan made the statement that if God took away the hedges and if God removed the blessings, Job would curse God and Job would die. That Job would turn his back upon God. And God said, no, that's not right. My servant is dedicated and loyal and faithful. My servant will continue to serve me even if the blessings are removed. And thus God allowed the devil to do certain things in order to test his faith. And you remember that Job had three friends that came to him. And when these friends came, at first, they did the best thing. They sat with him in sorrow and silence. For the time of period of death, they set for 7 days, and that would be the time that one would come and mourn and be silent. And there they sat with Job, there they mourned with him. But then they opened their mouths and they began to reason with Job, and they began to tell Job that the reason all these things had fallen him is because of some sin. They said, we'll tell you, Job, what's happened. You've violated God's law, you've done something, and God is punishing you. But Job denied this charge. Job said he did not act in such a way for all this to fall upon him. And then when you read the statements made between the friends of Job and Job, you find that Job finally looks at them and he practically says, let me continue this controversy with heaven and not earth. In Job 13, he says, you make me worse than I really am. He said, you are forgers of lies. Notice what he said. He said, you are worthless physicians. Job is tired of the charges of his friends. They're saying, Job, you're getting exactly what you deserve. And Job denies it. Job said, if I had done some wrong, I would have made it right. Job said, you are not right in all these charges. But then if you take your Bible, look at the statement in verse 3. I believe verse 3 is one of the most outstanding statements in the Bible, the Word of God. When in verse 3, Job says, but I would speak to the Almighty. I like that. I like the phrase that Job puts there. Job is going to make his appeal and speak to the Almighty. And what a beautiful way to describe the God of heaven, the Almighty God. Job said, man has come and man doesn't know all that has happened. Man has come and man can only speculate. Here are individuals who are supposed to be my friends, but they come and they are making the charges. They're not helping, but they're hurting, they're hindering, they're causing more pain that I've already experienced. And Job said, I'm going to take my case before the Almighty. Now then, when you stop and think about Job speaking to the Almighty God, there are several things we can recognize from that. There are several things that I can understand when Job speaks to the Almighty. First of all, it shows you and it shows me that Job recognized the divine existence of God. He believed in God. He believed in the deity. He wouldn't make an appeal to speak to God if he didn't believe there was one. So Job said to the people of that day, I would speak to the Almighty, the one who knows all, the one that sees all, the one that is in control, the one who understands my heart, he understands my thoughts, he understands all that I've endured. He understands from the A to the Z of the matter. Though man may not understand, and though man may make false charges, Job said, my God, the Almighty, I will appeal to Him. Have you ever thought that Job recognized the divine existence of God? Job said, I believe in God. Even though he had endured great tragedy, though he had faced great and multiple time and time again problems, Job said, I will appeal to the Almighty. But then if you take your Bible and look in the book of Job in the 13th chapter, recognize that when Job said he would speak to the Almighty, Job recognizes the personality of God. He recognized that God is a person, one that you can make an appeal to. Now, when I say he's a person, I'm not talking about like you and I. But what I'm saying is he's a personality, one that you can address. He's not just some spirit floating around up in heaven. But he is an individual, a person, an identity that we can appeal to. The God of heaven is one that I can make an appeal to, and my God will hear me. I remember the prophet of old Micah saying, my God will hear me. So here is Job, and Job speaking to God shows that Job recognized the divine existence of God and recognized the personality of God, that God is a person. But then the third thing I want to bring to your mind is that Job recognized the nearness of God. No doubt in his mind at that time, God may have felt far off. No doubt at that time, the heavens may have seemed as brass. At that time when his heart was broken because he'd buried children, child after child, side by side, and all of his livelihood had been taken, and his skin had become that which was painful, that man said, I will pray to my God. And I thought about heaven may have seemed like it was brass, but he recognized God was still there. He recognized that God was near. And he recognized that God cared. Even though the friends had come and accused him, he recognized the God of heaven was near to him. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Acts in the 17th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts in the 17th chapter, when Paul is preaching to the Athenians on that day, you remember that Paul begins to describe the God of heaven, and he says in verse 24, that he is Lord of heaven and earth and doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Now drop down to verse 27. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. You know God is near. Do you recognize that physically we may not understand how far God is? But what I'm talking about is spiritually. God is near. And here is a man that said, I would speak to the Almighty. I would take my case and I would appeal to God. Man won't help me, but God will. But then if you take your Bible in the book of Job in the 13th chapter, notice that Job recognizes that God feels for man, that God is concerned over the infirmities of man, that God is interested in man. God knows and God cares. Some of you who are in my Sunday morning Bible class, when we've been studying the Revelation letter, you'll remember in Revelation 2 and 3, when the churches were being persecuted, what was it Jesus said to them? Jesus said, I know your tribulations. And what did Jesus say? I hear your prayers. Jesus knows and Jesus cares. And here is a man in the days of Job, and he's praying out to God, and he said, God hears my prayer, and God cares. You ever thought that the God of heaven is almighty, all-powerful, reigns on high, looks down, and God cares? Could you imagine if we served a God who didn't care one thing for His creation? Can you imagine if the God we pray to just mocked at us and laughed at us and said, "You're nothing but dust. You're nothing to me. I don't care for you." Oh, I would that we understand that the God of heaven cares for His creation, and we need to be thankful He's a God of compassion. But then I want you to think about something else. He recognized God deserved honor. When he appealed to speak to God, he gave honor to God. He was dependent upon God. Open your Bible for just a moment to the 108th Psalm. And when you come to the 108th Psalm, look, if you will, at a statement that's made in regard to appealing to God in verse 12. In the 108th Psalm, look at verse 12. He says, "Give us help from trouble." He's appealing to God. Now look at the second line. "For the help of man is useless." You want to know where real help comes from? It comes from God. And Job recognized his fellow man may have meant well, but they had only added to the verb. Job said, "I would speak to the Almighty." Here's a man who said, "I'll pray, I'll talk, I'll plead with God." I want to take that. I want to make application to the lesson journeys. The first thing I want us to think about is when speaking to the Almighty, that every man could enjoy the blessing that's offered to all men. Open your Bible, if you will, though, to the Ephesian letter and the first chapter. And you know, sometimes I'm fearful we miss some of the blessings God really has given us. When Brother Law prayed just a moment ago, he talked about the many blessings we received, but then he talked about the greatest blessing in the giving of the Son of God. But do you recognize every spiritual blessing we have is when we are in Christ? You name the blessing, and I'll show you spiritually where you find it. In the Ephesian letter and the first chapter in verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," watch it, "with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." You recognize tonight when I pray to God, that's because I'm in Christ. Open your Bible to the Galatian letter for just a moment and the third chapter. In Galatians chapter 3, notice with me what Paul had to say about the individual in Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 27, he said, "As many of you as were baptized," where? "Into Christ, have put on Christ." I'm in a relationship with Christ. I've put on Christ. I'm in Christ. Now I'm on speaking terms with God the Father through Christ. Every spiritual blessing we have is in Christ. So when I bow my head in prayer and I offer up a prayer to God through Christ, that is a blessing beyond words. Do you ever thought about the power tonight we have to speak to the Almighty? Do you ever thought about the fact that we can go before the throne of God? You and I are priests in the Godhood or in the family of God. We can go to God in prayer through the high priest Christ. Times I'm fearful we take that for granted. I'll never forget one time when I first started preaching in a little country church. There was an issue that came up and we had a business meeting. And oh, if you've ever sat through a business meeting, you know how fun they are. And we sat there and this gentleman and I were talking and they said something came up and one fellow said, "Well, I don't know what we're going to do." And I made the statement as a young preacher. I said, "Well, maybe we need to pray about it." And he said, "Has it come to that?" God pity the day we think prayer is the last resort. And I've had people say, when I've asked them, "Is there anything you can do?" "Well, the least you can do is pray." No, that's the most you can do. You're going before the throne of God, the Almighty. You're not rubbing a rabbit's foot. It's not trying to get good luck. It's not superstition. You're petitioning the Creator of the universe. That is the most any of us can do. God help us if we take that for granted. When I go before the throne of God, I speak to the Almighty. Here I am, nothing but a molecule of dust on this planet, and I can pray to the God, the Almighty. You ever thought of that? But then I want you to think about something else. We need to speak to the Almighty in different times in our life. Ever thought about how we pray to God when there's sickness? When the flesh is weak? Open your Bible to the book of James in the 5th chapter, and we're told to pray when an individual's sick. in the book of James in the 5th chapter, you remember the writer is talking about how we're to come before the throne of God and what the fervent prayer does for one is sick. In James chapter 5 and verse 13, he said, "Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any among cheerful? Let him sing." Oh, those are spiritual blessings we do because we're in a relationship with God. "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him." Have you ever thought they're to pray? They're to put forth that effort before God and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. And then if you notice his statement, he says the fervent prayer, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When I'm sick, where do I turn? When I've got a loved one who's sick, where do I turn? And that doesn't necessarily heal the flesh, but I want to tell you, when you have spiritual sickness, where are you going to turn? Man can't heal you. Man can't take away your sin. Man can't take away your problems. Sometimes we turn to man when we should first turn to God. But I'll tell you something. When death comes, where are you going to turn? Have you ever thought that when you bury a loved one and you look around at the tomb after everyone's left, you're at the graveyard, where else are you going to turn but up? How many times have we stood at the grave of a loved one with our heart breaking? And what are we going to do? We can turn to God. Do I believe in miracles? No, but I tell you what I do believe. I believe in divine help. Oh, I believe with all my heart God intercedes and God works in the lives of each of us. If God didn't, then why would God tell us to pray and ask? I don't always know how God works. I've heard some preachers act like they know how God answers prayers. I learned a long time ago that's above my pay grade. That's above my mind. There's some things I just don't understand. But that doesn't mean God doesn't do it. God works. But I want to tell you something. When was the last time we spoke to the Almighty about the Lord? Sometimes we say, "Well, preacher, I'll tell you what the problem is. We're not converting people. The preacher's not working. Elders aren't working. Deacons aren't working. Church is folding up, and that's the problem." I want to know something. When was the last time you prayed for the soul of a lost person? Open your Bible to the Roman letter in the 10th chapter. When you look in the Roman letter and the 10th chapter, notice what Paul said in verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer." Oh, you're going to God? Yes, I'm going to God. "For Israel is that they may be saved." Now, he's not asking that they be saved in the condition they're in. He's praying that they'll turn to God. He said, "I bear witness they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. They want to establish their own system of good works. They've not submitted to God." But he's going to pray that they do so. He prays they'll turn from their wickedness. I would speak to the Almighty. I would pray for the soul of the lost. And I'll tell you something else. Nations need to go back to praying to God. Now, I've had some people say, "You know, the turn of this country is when they took prayer out of school." I learned one thing. As long as there's tests, there's probably going to be prayer in school. But I'll tell you something about prayer. People can't stop you from praying. I try to instill in the hearts of my sons, they can pray at any time. Whether we're driving down the road, before you eat a meal, you don't always have to utter it out loud. You can pray. And I try to get into the minds of brethren that we can pray to God, and we need to pray for our nation. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, what was it the Apostle Paul had to say to the young man Timothy? In 1 Timothy 2, he said, "I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men." That includes your enemies. Then he said, "For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." You know, my friend, I don't believe in politics from the pulpit. I think sometimes we get our patriotism and our religion confused. And I believe sometimes we think that politics is going to answer the problem. No, the gospel will. But I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe we pray for this nation. And I know sometimes what happens is we complain about our leaders, but we don't pray for them. I'll tell you something. If you read verse 3 and 4, it says it's good and acceptable in the sight of God if we pray for them. If I'm going to complain, I'll tell you what I need to do. I need to pray. But I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you something I believe. I believe families need to get back to prayer. When was the last time the family prayed together? It used to be years ago, the sign, the family that prays together, stays together. I'll tell you one thing. If our children never hear us pray, then tell me what makes us think they're going to learn to pray for themselves. And grandparents, we need to let them hear us pray. The only time they hear a prayer is when they're in the four walls of this building. I pity them. How are they ever going to learn to speak to the Almighty? One last thing, bless you. We need to pray in thanksgiving. The only time some people ever call on the name of God is when they take His name in. But I would that I could teach people to be thankful to God. Look in your Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look with me what the Apostle Paul had to say to the church at Thessalonica. When Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says in verse 16, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks." Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In everything. Sometimes we miss a true blessing, and I'm just as guilty as anyone. Sometimes I don't see the blessing of God because I only see the problem of life. But Paul said, in everything give thanks. Why? That's the will of God. Open your Bible to Philippians 4. When you come to Philippians 4, look at what he says in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. I could learn a lot about that. But in everything, watch it, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now look at that. Anxious for nothing, in everything, by prayer and supplication. Look at those next two words. With thanksgiving. I ask this as we close. When you speak to the Almighty, do you just give Him your laundry list of wants? You just say, now God, I want this and I need this, and so-and-so at church wanted me to pray for him, and I got this and I got that. Or when was the last time you just thanked God? When was the last time you just said a prayer of thanksgiving and just poured your heart out and said, I want to thank you that you hear me? You're the Almighty listening to I would speak to the Almighty. But for me to speak, I have to be on speaking terms with God. And to be on speaking terms, I need to be His child. And if you're here tonight and you've never been baptized, we pray tonight you'll accept the gospel, you'll obey the gospel, and be immersed into Christ. As together we stand and sing, we invite you to come.